Imagine waiting all winter for the perfect writing day. You go to turn the key and you just hear a dead click.
Oh yeah, that is just the worst.
Right. And the absolute worst part is that your battery was plugged in the entire time. Well, you're about to find out why your quote-unquote smart charger might actually be locking you out on purpose.
It's a really common issue, actually.
Yeah. So today we're taking a deep dive into the source material on the battery maintainer market. We're specifically dissecting the reviews, the complaints, and the technical specs of the insanely popular battery tender 3-amp.
Which is a great unit, but man, it gets a lot of hate online.
It really does. So our mission is to figure out what actually keeps your stored vehicles running and, you know, whether that mountain of online complaints about this specific device actually holds any water.
It is an incredibly frustrating scenario for people. But as we dig into the sources, it becomes pretty clear that a massive chunk of that frustration actually stems from user error.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I mean, people are treating batteries like simple buckets that you just fill with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to the biggest mistake buyers make, which is assuming a more powerful charger is always better.
Okay, I'll admit, I totally fall into that trap.
Oh, most people do.
Like, if I need to water a houseplant and I have a fire hose right there, my instinct is to just blast it and get it done in 2 seconds, you know? Mm. Why not just hit a tiny motorcycle battery with the absolute biggest charger on the shelf to save time?
Because that fire hose approach, it physically destroys the battery.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. When you force way too much current into a small battery, you generate excess heat. And that heat can actually warp the lead plates inside, or in extreme cases, literally boil the battery acid right out of the casing.
That sounds dangerous.
It is. To avoid destroying your equipment, you really have to follow the 10 to 20% rule.
Which is what, exactly?
You should match the charging current to roughly 10 to 20% of the battery's amp hour rating. And that rating is just, you know, the measure of how much total energy the battery actually holds.
Okay, so that puts the whole sizing issue into perspective. Because a standard 20 amp hour motorcycle battery can only safely take, what, a 2-amp charge?
Exactly.
So hitting it with a 3-amp battery tender is just total overkill. You're risking all that heat damage.
Right. You're way better off using their smaller 1.25 amp version for the bike and saving that 3-amp model for the much larger 40 to 100 amp hour batteries you'd find in like a truck or a boat.
Got it.
And honestly, that sizing mistake is really just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to misinterpreting how these devices operate.
Yeah, I was looking at the forums, and the number one complaint by far is a flashing red light on the charger.
Oh, yeah. Users see that blinking light, and they just instantly throw the unit in the trash. They assume the hardware is completely defective.
But the flashing red light is actually a communication feature, right? Not a hardware failure at all.
Spot on. It means the charger's microprocessor is working flawlessly, actually. It simply can't sense a clean electrical connection.
So most of the time, the user doesn't even need a refund. They just need to neutralize the acidic corrosion on their battery terminal.
Exactly. Just a really simple mix of baking soda and water acts as a base. It chemically neutralizes that built-up acid so the current can finally flow again.
But people don't realize that. And that inability to read what the charger is trying to tell you leads to, like, an even bigger source of outrage, the 3-volt safety block.
Oh, the safety block causes so much drama. People hook the tender up to a battery that has been sitting totally dead in a shed for a year. The charger does absolutely nothing, and they write this scathing review claiming it was dead on arrival.
Right, but it's playing dead on purpose. If the battery is completely flat-like, reading under 3 volts, the internal safety circuit shuts down completely, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, because pumping electricity into a deeply discharged, potentially shorted out battery can cause thermal runaway.
Which is really bad.
Yeah, you're risking melting the plastic casing, or worse, causing an explosion. The charger isn't broken. It is actively protecting you from a faulty battery.
Now, that isn't to say these units are immortal, right? When we look at the data on genuine hardware failures, there is a clear pattern.
Yeah, definitely. If you leave these maintainers plugged in continuously, day in and day out, the internal components just simply wear out over time.
Right. The sources say they tend to burn out after about 7 to 8 years of constant plugged-in service.
Which is still a pretty good run, honestly.
True. But you know, that 3-volt safety feature still bothers me a bit. If the battery tender outright refuses to touch a dead battery to protect me, it also prevents me from even trying to save it.
Yeah, it completely locks you out.
Right. If I know the risks, and I actually want to force a charge on a deeply neglected battery, I'd probably skip the tender entirely and grab something like the NOCO Genius 5.
That makes sense. The NOCO is a fantastic pivot for that specific problem. It actually has a dedicated repair and desulfation mode specifically built to punch through that resistance and, you know, revive dead cells.
Yeah, and if we're looking at alternatives, the sources also point out the C-Tech MXS 5.0.
Oh yeah, the C-Tech. It's a bulky, premium European build, but its real advantage is how it handles AGM batteries.
Right, AGM stands for absorbent glass mat.
Precisely. So instead of battery acid sloshing around as a liquid, the acid is suspended in tight fiberglass mats. And because of that specific chemistry, they require a slightly higher charging voltage.
And the C-Tech has a specific mode tailored precisely for those high-end setups.
Exactly.
So it really comes down to matching the tool to the specific chemistry and capacity of your garage. For you listening, the strategy is pretty clear. Protect your battery's internal plates by matching your charger's amps to 10 to 20% of your battery size.
Definitely. And before you assume your gadget is broken, chemically clean those terminals with some baking soda.
Yes. And crucially, test any new maintainer on a known good battery in the first few weeks, just so you can beat the return window on the rare chance you actually did get a dud.
Because understanding the mechanics behind these tools doesn't just save you money, it saves you from massive headaches when the seasons change.
It really does. Which leaves you with a broader question to chew on today. If modern smart chargers are meticulously designed to completely lock you out from attempting to revive a sub-3-volt battery, at what point do these built-in safety features cross the line from protecting us to actually preventing us from repairing our own equipment?